much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
3, 2, 1, burp.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ask the gays and ask the people. Ask the gays what they think and what they do.
What? And I know it may not be a trendy issue, but cutting your hair at home can save you thousands of dollars over the course of your lifetime. So, that's something Big Haircut doesn't want you to know about.
Eat my butt. Yeah, eat my butt. Yeah, yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Born to be bad.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Sounds fantastic.
Roll another one.
Some dreams come true.
Just like the other one.
But this is America. I want it now.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Two words. Get over it.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Ah, mamma mia.
Roll another one.
Bing, bing, bing.
Blip, blip.
Just like the other one.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
This one seems to be about to end.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have another cent.
Sadly, the American dream is dead.
Care about that.
Just pass it around.
It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer.
I don't like your attitude.
I just pass it on down.
And now,
how many times will the audience not be laughing?
Our feature presentation.
I would say, based on past experience, almost all the times.
Yeah.
Listening to this show. Hey, you guys, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. Today is Friday, and it is the 19th of August. How are my ladies?
Ugh.
What? The ladies that I work with. My office mates, Chip and Allie. How are you guys?
I was good until about 45 seconds ago.
There's nothing creepy about how are my ladies. Is this thing on?
Hmm.
Allie, say words.
Ugh.
Use your words.
Ugh.
Hey, what's the Adele update?
I haven't found out if she is actually doing the show tomorrow, but I'm hoping she is.
Well, of
she
course.
Hasn't said, mm-hmm. I'm doing the show or I'm not doing the show. But I assume she's been at home.
Right.
Having lots of Ricolas, water.
Yeah.
Maybe some honey and tea.
It seemed like she was taking her cold seriously and
yes.
that she was going to do everything she could to get back out on the road.
I hope so.
So, yeah. So, I wonder, I mean, I guess no news is good news. I guess if they don't announce they're canceling the show, then the show is still on.
That's how I'm looking at it.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
All right. What's happening?
I had a hearing test yesterday.
Really?
How'd that go?
Jeez, what's going on?
Huh?
What? You're right.
What?
Oh no.
No, I'm fine. No, it's fine. Hey, listen. Here's a story I think you guys will enjoy very much. Forgive me for just trying to make chit chat here at work. By the way, forgive me for that. A boy genius from Texas has conquered high school at the age of 12, and is headed off to Cornell University this fall.
Oh.
He's 12. Hey, what are you doing next month? I'm going to Cornell.
I always feel for those kids.
Really? I was curious about that. Is it a blessing or a curse to be that smart?
I think it's a blessing to be that smart, but then to put them in a college atmosphere at like 10, 11, 12, mm-hmm. it's just so sad to see them with their little backpacks and walking into class and, oh, no.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it is difficult socially because you are around people who are six, seven years older than you are. So it's not like you have peers. Mm-hmm. But what else can you do if they've already burned through all high school? You can't just keep holding them back if they're bored year after year. You kind of have no choice, right?
Maybe they should come up with just one college for these super smart kids. So then they're all submersed together and growing up together, even if it's just like 12 kids a year.
That's interesting.
Right? Did I just come up with the best idea ever?
You might have, actually.
Yeah.
Jeremy is, he's 12. If he obtains his degree from Cornell in the next 4 years, like it's going to take him 4 years,
right.
He would be the youngest person ever to graduate from Cornell in Ithaca, New York. According to Texas Tech University, Jeremy's parents knew early on that he was different. He learned Korean and English by the age of 2.
Jeez.
By the way, the one thing I notice, and I see stories from time to time about these Wonder Kids, is that all of them are homeschooled. Every one of them. And I guess, is that because they know before they even get to school age that they're, why send them to kindergarten when they're already reading books, I guess? There's no reason to send them to a regular school because they have all this evidence that they're already too smart for that, I would think, right?
Possible, yeah.
So they have to homeschool them. He completed all of his high school courses when he was 11. His mom, by the way, has a doctorate in aerospace engineering. His dad works for Lockheed Martin, also as an engineer, so he had the smart genes passed down to him. He scored a 99.6 percentile on the SAT.
Loser.
He wanted to attend college, but he needed a diploma or GED first, so he enrolled in Texas Tech Independent School District and earned his high school diploma in 2 years. And as I said, he has applied to Cornell. So I don't know. I'm sure they have tracked these super smart kids. I wonder at what point their lives and their intelligence level out to the point where it's not an advantage for them anymore. Because you don't hear about these kids going on and being super smart their whole lives. You know what I mean? It seems like at some point they just become regular people.
So there's a smartness cap?
No, not that they start being smart, but they get to a point where they're not advancing past everybody else anymore.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because once they graduate from college and they got a job, that's just that they're doing their job and they're kind of more normal for at some point with people their age, I think. They're not always way out in front of everybody, I guess is what I'm saying. But I wonder if they've done any tracking on these kids that graduate high school by 10 to find out what their lives are like 20 years down the road.
Oh, I would love that. That would be the best documentary ever.
Yeah.
What are they up to?
Yeah.
Are they married? Are they happy? Do they have a great life? Are they sad just reading a book?
We did a phone topic once. Chip, you'll remember this, where we talked to Mensa people.
Yes.
And what was your memory of how that turned out?
I
think a lot of them had interpersonal problems because they were always smarter
than the people
they wanted to date. Yeah,
they had trouble connecting with people who were not as smart as them, yeah.
Who were regular people, yeah.
Normies.
Us normies, right, exactly. But, yeah, it is, it's weird how the brain works that somebody can be, I mean, the fact that you can learn two languages by the time you're two, like that's not normal, you guys.
Mm-mm.
So, anyway, good luck to Jeremy. I hope you don't get hazed.
Oh.
Hope bad things. I hope they don't tie you up to the flagpole or whatever they do to the little kids that go
to
college.
Yeah, they do that at college now all the time because it's 1956 at Rydell High. What's wrong with you, Bean?
You feel like you're the sock hop.
Going on.
Why do I feel like that's going to end up in the Mr. Patty sample file?
Yep.
All right, let's talk about today's Older Kevin to Beach here, shall we?
Holy spoiler alert!
Well, it's not really a spoiler because there's not much to look forward to today. But I am very much looking forward to your Ryan Lochte moment because our favorite American swimmer is just a jackass. And like we said with Jim Rome a few minutes ago, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. And we're going to be looking for your Lochte moment today. You thought you were going to get away with it. You concocted a big lie, and it bit you in the ass. It turned out to be a bad idea. I think that's going to be a fun phone topic.
Agreed.
What should you do if you get arrested? How much do you know about what you should say and not say when you get arrested? I read a fascinating article this week on Deadspin that gave you a step-by-step guide of the things to do and not do. And some of it was very surprising to me. And I realize it is useful to know this information ahead of time because most of us don't have any kind of a plan. And I think the tendency is to want to automatically proclaim your innocence.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way to go, according to the lawyer that we'll be having on today who wrote the piece. Has there ever been better advice for the Kevin and Bean listeners
yeah.
than what to do when you get arrested?
What time is this?
This is going to be at 8:30 this morning.
Yeah. Listen up, listeners.
Tell your friends. What's up with the testicle-biting fish? That's in the news right now. We got Breakfast with Sting. Of course, that is happening in less than 2 weeks in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. If you want to win your way in, we got those tickets that you can win on the program today. It's Friday. That means we got the movie beat. Time for your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What's Good on the program today and a brand new internet roundup to all that plus Ralph Garman with Showbiz Beat. That's next on K-Rock. Empire of the Sun on the world famous K-Rock. Once again, a reminder, they'll be joining us in studio Tuesday morning, bringing in brand new music for us. That's going to be fun. And speaking of great music, K-Rock Block Party Weekend starts today at noon. It's National Radio Day. Hey, Ralph Garman. Ralph?
Yes.
You all right?
Yeah.
All right.
How are you?
Doing fine.
Great.
Time for the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
How are my ladies? My ladies okay?
Try to make small talk with my coworkers.
Don't make creep talk. Make small creepy. Talk is fine. Don't make creep talk.
There was no creepiness about it at all.
Hmm. Maybe we should ask the victims.
Me in a room. They're not victims.
Let's ask the victims.
Me in a room with two women. Nothing creepy about it.
Take a quick vote. Creepy? Chip?
Creepy.
Allie?
Pretty creepy.
And good night. And we rest, Your Honor.
But what do they know?
We move for a verdict.
They're women.
This woman is feeling very tired and might head home.
You don't look so good. Yeah. You're coming down with something.
I have a house to clean.
You've got a
and
sandwiches
to make.
Meals
to make for men.
I got some vacuuming to do.
I am very busy.
I think you've got whatever Adele has.
Ugh.
Brady Bunch house, right?
Right.
Oh, how many of you have driven by the Brady Bunch house and said, hey, look, there it is, the Brady Bunch house?
I did like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. Sad news, the person who lives there, the old lady who lives there, apparently was the victim of a home invasion.
No!
Robbery. Yeah. Two men were apparently running around, ransacking her home around 10:30 p.m. at night. She heard noise, and there they were. But she flipped on the lights and they ran away. And she says she hasn't noticed anything valuable is missing. So perhaps she caught them in the act early enough where they didn't rob her. But
that makes me sad.
Yeah, me too. You don't want the Brady house to be ransacked.
Do you think they thought it was the Brady house?
They did. They're probably looking for that big horse statue that used to sit there by the stairs.
They thought Greg still lived in the den with the beads.
That's right. Exactly. That bead curtain. That looked awesome. They were looking for all the good stuff. Now we're talking about Holmes and Brady's. This was an interesting story. Eve Plum, who played Jan Brady, the middle Brady sister, she just sold her home for a little bit of a profit. She, in 1969, at the height of Brady mania, took a little piece of her childhood actor's salary and plopped it down a little cottage, a little tiny little box in Malibu, California.
Oh, dear.
She paid $55,000 for the little place. Back in 1969, she just sold it this week for $3.9 million.
Wow.
That is more.
Suck it, Marsha.
Right? Who's rich now? Jan.
Yeah.
Even with her glasses.
Did she live there with George Glass?
She did not, because he doesn't exist.
What?
Michael Keaton. Star of the classic Beetlejuice movie, of course. Has recently said he's not sure if there's going to be a sequel to Beetlejuice or not. It's been talked about for a long time, and it seems to be in the works, and Burton seems to be on board, and Keaton has said he'd be interested, but they just can't seem to get it together. However, Beetlejuice fans might be excited to know that there's a Broadway musical based on Beetlejuice in the works. Hey, how you doing? Just that over and over again on stage to music. New York Post says that the guy who created Mozart in the Jungle, and if you guys ever watched a little of that TV show, he is having serious talks with Warner Brothers about bringing Beetlejuice to the stage and making him sing. The production should be ready for the 2018-2019 Broadway season, so get out your calendars and circle.
What's your guys' level of interest in a Beetlejuice sequel?
Slim to none.
Sequel?
Yeah. Oh, sequel. I thought you said musical.
Yeah, I'd like to see a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun. And it's one of those characters, because it's so makeup heavy and everything, you would never feel like he had aged or anything.
Right.
You know, it would just look like Beetlejuice up there again. I think that could be enormously fun. I don't know why they haven't gotten around to it, quite frankly. It seemed to me there was a large stretch there of years where Michael Keaton really wasn't all that busy.
Yeah.
They could have done it then.
Just ranching.
But he's busy now. It's going to be Spider-Man in the Spider-Man movie. Vulture.
It's Hawkman.
No, it isn't.
What's the difference?
Learn the difference.
Let me hear it.
Here's Hawkman. And here's Vulture.
Oh, it goes up.
See?
At the end. Okay.
Now, you know. Now you've learned. And everything is rebooting. The Lost Boys. Remember the 1987 vampire film, The Lost Boys?
Yeah.
Sure.
Who did we have in that? Kiefer, right? Sutherland, he was in it.
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman.
Jason. Or Haim. Corey Haim. Corey.
Feldman, I think.
Corey.
Feldman.
Feldman.
Yeah. Jason Patrick.
Jamie Gertz.
Jamie Gertz. Love that film. CW is working on a new series based on that.
I think Corey
film.
Haim and Corey Feldman were in it.
Were they both in it?
This is going to trouble me.
They did a lot of films together. It's very possible they were both in it.
The Coreys.
Apparently, Lost Boys getting the TV series work. On the CW, Variety says the plan is to show what happens during a decade in the life of the Lost Boys. With the whole series lasting 7 years, or 70 in the lives of the vampires. The first season would take place in San Francisco in 1967 during the Summer of Love. And then they would just move it a decade forward for each season and get 7 years out of it.
Hmm.
It's because they live forever, vampires. You could do that.
Yeah.
Make it a period piece. Don't. Don't think. Don't be creepy. Period. Like time period.
Ew.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, blood.
What?
Right? From her wherever. Right? As Donald Trump would say. You don't
the
know.
Worst plot ever for a vampire movie.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Former President Bill Clinton. 70 years old today. Remember those days where Bill Clinton was president?
How do you think he's going to enjoy being the first spouse?
I think he's going to enjoy it enormously.
Really?
Yeah. He'll get to make a lot of speeches and be out in front of people and shake hands and do what
but
he
he's
does.
He's making a lot of speeches now and getting paid a lot of money for them, and he won't be doing that once he's the first spouse.
Yeah, I think they're okay cash-wise. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be able to
And I don't think you have to pay, like, water and garbage at the White House.
I don't believe
not
so.
Not a lot of bills.
Your bills are limited, yes. Peter Gallagher, great actor. 61 years old today. John Stamos turns 53. Kira Sedgwick is 51 today. Kevin Dillon, also 51. Matthew Perry, could he be more 47? Rapper Fat Joe is 46. Erica Christensen is 34 years old today. And Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine also celebrates her birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So you go into a room, and they turn the lights way down, and then they project images up on a screen in front of you, and you sit and you watch that?
Unless you're tied to a flagpole.
Honestly. Right.
Then you can't get there.
Maybe not have been college. The best example I ever gave.
In college.
In college.
First, they stuffed him into a phone booth, Ralph. Sure.
Then they made him eat goldfish. All those crazy college hijinks.
Come on. Nobody listening now heard that. That was last hour. Ugh. Come on. The show starts at 6. You know that. All
unbearable.
That. The rest of that is all warm-up.
Unbearable.
I think I was describing movie theaters, and that means it's Friday, and Ralph is here, and it's time for the movie beat. So hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
A wide variety of movies, excuse me, opening up this weekend. Something for everybody, truly. In limited release, we've got a movie called Morris from America, starring our buddy Craig Robinson.
This looks so good.
It does look good. It looks like the charming coming-of-age misadventures of a 13-year-old African-American boy living in Germany. That's got to be weird, right?
Yeah.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Morris from America.
Go to your room. You're grounded.
For what?
Because you like terrible music.
I know you might be still mad at me for bringing us here. One day, you lighting the hip-hop world on fire, collecting all your Source Awards, and thank me.
Source Awards? Is that as far as I get in your dreams?
All right, you're right.
Can I get a Grammy or something?
How'd you know it was a girl?
It's always a girl, Mo.
There's no rush to be home.
I'm not trying to keep you from experiencing anything.
So I'm not in trouble?
Oh, no. You grounded like a motherfucker.
Here to shoot another day.
Looks so good.
Looks adorable.
Craig Robinson is getting the best reviews of his life for this film, too. I'm so excited and so happy for him.
For the kids, how about Kubo and the Two Strings? Oh, this looks so good. The Leica people behind Box Trolls and Coraline and so many great films are at it again with another stop-motion animation film, which is just... They had this thing at Universal where they showed sort of behind the scenes of the Leica people and how they put their movies together. And it's a remarkably painstaking, labor-intensive process to get these films made. But the final result is always breathtaking, and this looks to be the best of them. It's about a young boy named Kubo who has to locate a magical suit of armor worn by his late father in order to defeat a vengeful spirit from the past. And along the line, he gets help by a knight called Beetle and a monkey named Monkey, played by Charlize Theron, by the way. And
nice.
Boy, that's the hottest monkey I've ever seen, right? Things I would do to that monkey.
I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
Really?
Oh, so much monkey. Matthew McConaughey also stars in this film. Ralph Fiennes lends his voice talents as well. Here's a scene from Kubo and the Two Strings where Charlize Theron's monkey is telling Kubo that he is finding his magic. He is indeed getting stronger.
You're growing stronger. You might not want to look quite so pleased about that. We grow stronger. The world grows more dangerous. Life has a funny way of keeping things balanced.
Monkey, do you ever say anything encouraging?
I encourage you not to die.
Oh, that is
good
encouraging.
Advice, right? Imperium is in limited release this weekend. Story of an idealistic FBI agent has to go undercover to take down a radical white supremacy terrorist group. Daniel Radcliffe stars in this film. The tricky part of his mission is how do you go along with white supremacists and make them take you in to their confidence, at the same time holding on to your principles and your morals, a tightrope walking exercise. At best, Daniel Radcliffe, as I mentioned, stars Toni Collette, is also in this film, along with Sam Tremel. Here are some clips from the trailer of Imperium.
I need an informant. Get in there and make a difference.
We know where you live.
I don't have the skills for this. I can't even defend myself.
You do have the skills.
Massive terrorist plot.
Are you a cop?
These guys are fanatics. They will not be taken alive.
Do you suspect someone?
It's just, it's like they say at these rallies. You look to the left, look to the right. One of these people is a snitch. It's the left.
Oh, it's the left, see? It's always the left.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe has certainly gone out of his way to choose peculiar movies since Harry Potter, hasn't he?
I think that's just where his interest lies.
Yeah,
I think he's a very eclectic dude, and I don't think he likes mainstream fare for the most part. He likes to do weird, interesting, challenging stories, and good for him.
Dark, left of center, yeah. Right.
He's got all the money. Though. He doesn't need the money.
That's
now he
true.
Can do what he wants. Ben-Hur opens up this weekend as well, the retelling of the epic story of Judah Ben-Hur. Judah Ben-Hur! Who's a prince accused by treason by his adopted brother, who's an officer in the Roman army. And after years at sea, Ben-Hur returns to his homeland to seek revenge, but finds redemption. This is brought to you by our buddy Mark Burnett and his wife, Roma Downey. They're producers behind this. And the movie that I'm most excited about this weekend, War Dogs... From director Todd Phillips, you know, the man who brought you the Hangover films. This is based on the true story of two guys who were young guys, and they figure out a way to tap into the arms business. They won a $300 million contract from the Pentagon to arm America's allies in Afghanistan, and things go horribly wrong as they deal with some shady characters. It strikes me as like the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Remember that movie? What that did for finance, this does for arms dealers.
Oh, dear.
Jonah Hill and Miles Teller star in this film. And here they are negotiating a deal with guest star in the film, Bradley Cooper. This is a scene from War Dogs.
They have to dispose of all of their Soviet-era weapons. And I can get most of it for pennies on the dollar.
Why don't you just bid on the contract yourself?
I'm on a watch list.
Like a terrorist watch list?
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Okay, how much for the AK ammo?
You're on a terrorist watch list?
Do it for Homeland Security? Relax, bro.
Well, you two should probably talk this over.
We will, but we are very interested.
Good. My flight leaves tomorrow morning at 10. I can't spend more than 48 hours in this dump.
That's what I always say. Vegas is a two-day town.
I was talking about America.
This film looks terrific. I love Todd Phillips' work and Jonah Hill, Miles Teller. A great team together. That's everywhere this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
It is Friday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Don't forget, you can always get in touch with the show lots of different ways, including texting us anytime if you want to share a nugget of wisdom with us, the number 2KROQ. This story out of Scandinavia is a little bit of a surprise, Allie. I'm always concerned when animals show up in places they're not supposed to be.
Right.
And this is that that fish that has become fairly well known. You see it from time to time on the interview. I think it's on the internet. I think it's pronounced the pacu, the pacu fish. It's a South American fish. And the reason it is famous, the reason we know about it, is it's because the one that every once in a while you'll see, it bites a guy's testicles off. It's a huge fish, by the way. It can grow to as much as 55 pounds.
Oh, my God.
So a fish with teeth of that size can do some serious damage. Again, it's a South American fish, but it has been found in Scandinavia, in the waters between Sweden and Denmark. Fish experts are warning locals to stay aware. Make sure if you're going in the water, you wear a bathing suit, for instance, is good advice. How does something like that happen? I mean, there's no – I mean, I would think –
somebody had to bring it there, right?
I hope so. Because there's a bigger problem afoot if South American fish are migrating to Scandinavia.
And if people aren't aware of this fish, literal human teeth. Yes. It looks like you could put braces on these bad boys.
Yes,
it is terrifying.
Is. So we asked Dave to get us a fish expert. And believe it or not, from the National History Museum in Denmark, Mr. Henrik Carl joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Carl, thanks so much for coming on, sir.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on your radio program.
Well, I appreciate that, especially with the time difference. I know we're keeping you late there at work. But
no,
what's the...
it's okay, because I'm already at work hard doing my work for much, so I am doing it. And
okay.
He's happy now to be awaking, talking to you now, sir.
Oh, nice.
Well, you're very sweet, very kind. So what's
thank you.
So what's the what's
very sweet? That makes me feel good inside.
Good. Well, good. I'm glad. What's the thought here among fish experts about how this pacu ended up in your part of the world?
Well, it's not uncommon for people to have the red-bellied pacu in their own fish tanks, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they are the cousin of the piranha, you see.
Ooh.
And many people like to have exotic fish in a tank of their own collection of fish. And often, sometimes, people will say, oh, I'm bored with this hobby. And so now I will empty the tank, you know, into the nearest freshwater body, like stream or a lake or something. And that fish then, of course, is living then where it should not be living.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be of great concern to people like you who monitor the fish, because you just want to see native species in the waters around Sweden and Denmark.
Yes, you don't want to upset the ecosystem wherever it is that you put this wild animal. Mm-hmm. It can change radically the situation. And so what we like to do is make sure that it is, in fact, an anomaly, as we say in science, and not a migration of species or an induction of a new type of animal into the ecosystem.
So why do we think that this fish bites testicles?
Well, it's not that the testicle is the regular diet for the red-bellied pacu. The teeth it has, the strange-looking human teeth-like teeth, are mainly to crush fruits and nuts, is what it likes to eat so much.
Hmm.
And so it has, you know, it has teeth so it can crush nuts, and sometimes the nuts are yours, you know? That's the way it is.
I read a quote that said they bite because they're hungry and testicles sit nicely in their mouth.
Yeah, well, if you're a nut eater, your nature is to eat the nuts.
It's true.
You can't go wrong with the nuts of the human, the human nuts. Now, I'm here in the sound off of Øresund, where this small version of the fish was found. Uh-huh. It was just 8 inches long.
Wait, you're in the water right now?
Yeah, we're looking now to see if we can find any other examples of the red-bellied
parakeet. Okay.
Okay, be careful.
Well, I am a scientist. I don't have to. You tell me be careful. I'll tell you be careful.
Okay.
Are you wearing swimming trunks, though?
I don't like swimming trunks so much. Because I am Swedish, and so we like, you know, the sauna, and we like to be in the nude when we're doing our bathing and recreating.
I'm
nervous.
This is very tense right now.
I have a fishing net in one hand, and my testicles are just dangling.
Please get out of the water, would you, Carl?
I am a professional science-type person. I know what to do and not to do.
Right, but the fish doesn't know that.
I am perfectly safe, and because I am well-versed in the ways of the fish.
Okay.
So if I am just, thigh deep in the water.
Okay, we're going to let you go then. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, thanks for coming on.
Deliciously in the surface of the water. Just sort of bobbing and teasing there on the surface of the water.
Oh, please stop.
It doesn't mean that I am in any way dangerous.
No. Okay, you're making us very nervous.
I am fine. I am just looking for fish. And
have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Here, fishy, here, red-bellied Paco.
We'll see you later, sir.
Where are you, my little friend? Doesn't look like there's any more here. I think we're all safe.
Oh, I'm so relieved.
Let's all have a good weekend.
Okay, you too. Nice. Oh, no. Terrible. I was so close to getting off the phone. He is going for it. Wow. Mr. Carl?
He must be huge.
I should have done things differently, I think.
No doubt on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, what was your take? Allie and I were talking about this off the air yesterday. What was your take on the uncovered Blake Shelton? Speaking of Gwen, it's funny. The Blake Shelton tweets that came out that somebody went and looked back at some of the things he had written in recent years that they thought were sexist and homophobic and everything. Did you think they were bad or did you think they were much ado about nothing?
I am chagrined to admit that I am not familiar with those tweets.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
So what's the story?
Someone searched
back through his entire Twitter history and found some inappropriate tweets?
Yeah. From like 4 years ago, he was, making what he considered jokes, good old boy jokes about the homosexuals and everything. And he said he meant no harm, but, now we live in an age of accountability.
So he's a good old boy, never meaning no harm? Is that what you're saying?
I think that was his defense, I think, yes. But he kind of came out and gave a non. Well, I'm sorry to anyone who was offended, kind of thing. But he didn't seem to think that he had done anything wrong. But I only thought of it because of how squeaky clean Gwen Stefani's image has been over the years. And I was thinking, I wonder if that's a little bit of a little bit of a conflict there, because she gets dragged down by what he does, and vice versa at this point now that they're together.
Yeah, I think sometimes you have to factor in intent sometimes with tweets and humor and things like that. And I get the sense that Blake Shelton may be just a product of his environment.
He's Oklahoma.
He's Oklahoma. And I'm guessing they were probably jokes in bad taste. But I don't get any hit from him that seems like he's a genuinely hateful or malicious person anymore.
Mm-mm. He couldn't seem any sweeter to contestants of all kinds and colors and orientations on The Voice, that's for sure.
Yeah, so maybe just bad judgment on his part.
Could be. All right, 6:54, time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Hey, I want to remind folks, tonight at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage to once again bring you Hollywood Babble on. It's our show where we take a look at the events of the week in pop culture, and also we have a bunch of recurring segments that people seem to enjoy, and Kevin enjoys, pot. That's what he enjoys. And I get drunk, and we have a really good time. So if you're looking for something to do tonight at The Late Show, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, come on out and see us. It's the last one at that venue for a while. So if you're in the area and you want to check out Hollywood Babylon tonight, would be a good time to do it. You go to improv.com to get your tickets. And then next week we'll be down in Irvine and then taking some time off from Babylon, and we'll be back in September. But let's take a look at dumb people in the news. Listen, if you're a celebrity and you're making money in show business, pay your freaking taxes.
Yeah.
This time it's another Real Housewife of, where was NeNe Leakes from? Atlanta, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think so.
And she was also on Dancing with the Stars. She launched her own clothing line on the Home Shopping Network. And it turns out she owes the U.S. government a cool $824,000 in back taxes. That's not a oops.
No.
Nice job, dumbass.
Oh, I forgot to declare that mall opening I did for a couple grand. This is going out of your way to not give Uncle Sam his due.
Look, if you're making that kind of money, you have someone else take care of your taxes.
Right. That's pay your taxes. Rule. Just pay them.
Because they're going to find out.
Right. You can't get away
with
it.
You never get away with that forever.
No. Not those kinds of numbers. Almost $1 million in taxes she owes. Internal Revenue Service can start seizing her assets and property if the debt isn't paid soon. So it means all that plastic surgery has to come off. Have you seen her lately?
She's unrecognizable. Everything's different.
It's like she's in the witness protection program. It's insane. This is cool music news. Metallica dropped a new single yesterday and didn't tell anyone. They just did it. A song called Hardwired suddenly showed up on YouTube. And it is some old school Metallica.
Yeah, it rocks pretty hard.
It does. You got James Hetfield just dropping all kinds of language that we can't really play on this show, but it's fun. A new CD set of all new songs, including the single, will be out on November the 18th, a double CD album, so that's pretty cool. Hardwired to Self-Destruct is the name of the double CD release. And if you didn't hear the new song, here is Hardwired, the new single from Metallica.
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see, absolutely all that I cannot live, I cannot die.
I don't believe that was me.
That
was what?
Yeah.
Oh.
I love them.
Let's hear Hardwired, shall we?
Eat my butt. Yeah, eat my butt. Yeah.
I don't believe that.
It's different.
Different
style from Metallica.
Metallica, they seem to have no music whatsoever on that particular single, so I'm guessing maybe that's not it.
One more time.
In the name of desperation, in the name of wretched pain, in the name of all creation, count and say, we're so out of luck, hardwired to self-destruct. Go!
Man!
Oh, that's Metallica.
That's summertime, windows down.
Just doing it.
101, oh. No. 101 driving in your car. Just
doing it.
Just, no, not doing it at all, Allie. Just pinning the red. Just pushing.
Yeah, pinning the red.
That's what Allie's saying.
No. Woo-hoo! I'm talking
doing
about
it.
Your tachometer, making your engine scream as you turn that all the way up. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and the 101 is empty, and you're just pedal to the
doing
metal
it.
Music right there. Why?
You're not doing it.
You're driving. Don't do it while you drive. It's dangerous.
What's happening right now?
Allie wants to do it, apparently.
I love Metallica so much.
Some association with Metallica.
And speaking of doing it, I've heard rumors, Allie, that you're actually going to an Adele show. Is that true? Are the rumors true?
Rumor has it that I am going tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. If she performs, of course.
No, I think she's doing good.
I don't know. Did you see the video she released this week about that show in Phoenix that she had to cancel?
I did.
Adele had a terrible cold and would not let her perform. And so she's just, how rare is it that a celebrity, every move they make, continues to make you love them more?
Yeah.
She just seems to be the most real, down-to-earth, kind, sweet person. She released a video online via Instagram this week where she apologized to the people of Phoenix for canceling. And she was no makeup, no team prepping her for it. It was just her looking sick, talking to the camera, as genuine as a celebrity as you get. Here is the audio of the apology Adele gave to Phoenix for having to cancel her show due to sickness.
Hello, everyone. Specifically, everyone in Phoenix and Arizona. I can't do my show tonight, my second show here. I'm really, really sorry. I've had a cold for a couple of days, and I've been pushing through it, and I did my show last night, and I loved it. But I pushed too hard, and my cold has gotten the better of me. And as you can hear, even if I did the show, it wouldn't be very good. I'm really, really, really sorry to let anyone down. I've enjoyed my tour so much, and cancelling shows has not been something I want to do. And I've pushed through a lot of things, but I've been trying to sing all morning and warming up, and nothing's really happening. I'm so sorry to let you down. I know lots of people will be flying in from all over. It's the last thing I want to do, but I have to look after myself because I've got so many more shows to do. I will reschedule this show, I promise you, and I will come back and I'll smash it for you. I'm really, really sorry. Have a wonderful evening without me.
Oh, and Ali, I probably won't be doing a show that you have tickets to.
Oh.
Sorry. Bye.
Oh, no.
Did she hear that part at the end?
I didn't either. Sad. I must have clicked off right before that.
You should have watched the whole video.
Oh, no.
I feel bad now. That's sad for you.
Did you listen to that before you?
I was sitting right here. I listened to it. I heard it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sad. Today's celebrity birthday is Bill Clinton, 70. Peter Gallagher is 61 years old today. John Stamos turns 53. Kira Sedgwick's 51, as is Kevin Dillon. Matthew Perry turns 47 years old today. Fat Joe is 46. Allie's really, really upset. Eric Christensen is 34 years old. And Melissa Fumero, how much do we love her from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
We love her all.
She's so lovely and talented. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey!
No!
Yes!
Bad girl. Down. Coming up on this morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, more tickets for you to join us for our Breakfast with Sting. I don't think I have mentioned this enough, by the way. Yeah, it's the Red Bull Sound Space, big band, big artist, tiny little room. But he is going to be world premiering brand new Sting music. And Allie, this is the first rock album Sting has done in many, many years.
Yeah, this is going to be really exciting.
It really is. He's going to be singing a song that none of us have heard for the first time ever. It's going to be done right there in front of us. You know, he's been off doing lute music. That's not a joke. That's some sort of ancient instrument that he's obsessed with. He did a Christmas album. He's been doing a lot of things that aren't rock. But now he's coming back around. He's got a new rock album coming out in November, and he'll be world premiering that brand new single for us on the 31st. If you want to win your way in, keep on listening. We'll tell you how to do that coming up on Kit Rock. Ryan Lochte.
Oof.
Right?
Wow.
The news this morning is that he has hired a famous public relations guru, a man named Matthew Hitzlick, to try to navigate him through what happens next. I mean, look, his reputation is shot. Instead of for the rest of your life, when you hear the name Ryan Lochte, you thinking, oh, he's that guy who wasn't as good a swimmer as Michael Phelps, which is what we all thought. Mm. Instead, you're going to be hearing he's the guy who made up the story about getting robbed in Brazil.
Right.
So they have hired a guy who has worked for Justin Bieber. He's the public relations guy who navigated Manti Te'o out of his situation. Alec Baldwin hired him. So he's big time. So what do you do to rehabilitate Ryan Lochte's image after what he's done?
Well, first of all, he needs to come out and apologize. He needs to say, I lied. I made it up. I apologize to the people of Brazil, my teammates, the USA for putting us in this light as well. And then make a donation to a charity in Brazil. Do something. But don't sit there and be quiet about it.
Yeah, I think all of that is essential. Absolutely. He needs whatever the equivalent is of the Oprah sit-down interview today is something that he needs to do. Because so far, everything he said has either been a lie or has been silence out of him.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can point to a lot of ways that this guy made bad choices. But splitting from Brazil and leaving his teammates behind to take the heat from the Brazilian police, I mean, to put his teammates through getting literally dragged off an airplane while they were trying to leave Brazil while you're at home in California, that's unforgivable to do that.
And then the other one, what's his name? Jimmy?
Right.
Jimmy Fagan.
He
now has to pay close to $11,000, give it to a charity in Brazil, just so he could get his passport back and go home.
Unbelievable.
It's insane.
Look, I know, and we've all known for all the years we've been seeing Lochte swim and be interviewed on the news in his terrible reality TV show. We know that he is not a bright dude. But how did this happen that he would concoct a story like that? What was he trying to get away from? Somebody, him looking bad because he broke a door at a bathroom in Rio? Is that all that he's covering? Is all of this a result of him being drunk and breaking a door? And that's what he was trying to cover up?
As far as we know, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's insane how much worse he made it. Look, he could have just been the guy who, you know what? I finished swimming. I won another gold medal. I went out and I apologized. It got out of control.
Yeah.
And we, you know, here's a ton of money to the gas station to fix his door. And we apologize for peeing on your wall. And that would have been the end of it. And we all would have thought, well, he's a kid. He trained so hard.
32 years old. He is not a kid. Let's stop that narrative right now.
Yeah, maybe you're right about that. He certainly should know better.
No, he's a 32-year-old man.
He had trained hard, and now he was done, and he was just letting loose a little bit. But instead, look at the mess that he has created for himself.
I mean, one lie has snowballed into an international incident. It's insanity.
It is what we will remember him for the rest of his life.
Absolutely.
The lead line of his obituary is going to be Ryan Lochte, who created an international incident by lying about being robbed by the police in Rio, is dead at 85 or whatever it's going to be. So we want to take your phone calls this morning on what your Ryan Lochte moment was, and that is you tried to get away with something by creating a cover-up. You made up a story and you thought, well, this is going to go away. I'm going to be fine now. And then it backfired on you. And by the way, you don't have to think very hard to think about how many times this happens to people. I mean, Bill Clinton was impeached, not because he fooled around on his wife in the White House, but because he lied about it. If he had just come out and admitted it, don't you think there would have been a certain number of people, at least, that would have been willing to forgive him for that? Especially based on who he's married to.
Wow.
Right?
You couldn't wait to get that in.
But it was the cover-up. I mean, Richard Nixon is the classic example. Yeah, he would have been in a lot of trouble for orchestrating a break-in, the Watergate Hotel break-in. He would have been in a lot of trouble for that.
Right.
Why did he have to resign the presidency? Because of the cover-up, because of all the lies he told to cover that thing up. I get what you're thinking. And again, 1-800-520-1067. What's your Ryan Lochte moment? What was the cover-up that failed for you? That's the topic on the table here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. I get what you're thinking is, oh, I'm going to get in trouble or I'm going to look bad for doing this thing, but here's my way out.
Mm-hmm.
And you come up with something and you're convinced that this is going to be the answer. This is going to get me out of trouble. And I would say it very rarely works, but maybe it works a lot of the time. And we just don't hear about those people because they got away with it.
Right.
Because they made up a story.
Oh, I don't know. I've been asked to lie for friends who might be doing shady things.
Really?
Yeah. Well, not just cheating type of things.
I was going to ask what your level of comfort is in covering up a crime.
Not a good level. Okay. At all.
All right.
That's it. No, it's just, you know,
so
when your friends are like...
I don't come for you for an alibi then.
I am a bad liar. I get very nervous. I sweat. It's not good.
Okay.
I'm a very bad liar. I can't even play like poker, mostly because there's numbers and stuff involved and it's hard to count. But I cannot cover for someone because then I start thinking about their lie. Did I say their lie right? And oh my God, what if they ask this? What's my reaction going to be? I'm trying to stay one step ahead of it, and it's not even my problem.
Right.
So no, I will not lie for you.
And by the way, this was the other thing about the Lochte situation is there's four guys who knew the truth that were going to be speaking to the press. They couldn't even get their story straight.
No.
Ryan Lochte couldn't even hold it together. After he told that lie, after he made up the story that he told on the beach in that famous interview with Billy Bush, then he went on the next day, and Matt Lauer, who had started her rumblings that maybe it didn't go down exactly the way Lochte described it, asked him about it. And he said, no, I would never make up a story like that. That would have been another outstanding opportunity for him to come clean, wouldn't it?
It just snowballs. It gets so big and gets away from you.
All right, let's take one call before the break, and let's make it Sean. He's in Claremont. He's up on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is your Ryan Lochte moment? That's what we're discussing here on K-Rock. Sean, thanks for calling. What happened, man?
All right, so when I was 16, I just got my license, and I had it for about a week. And four of my buddies and I went keeping, I was one of them that had a car. My other buddy had the car, and we keepied, and at the very end, one of my buddies went and rang the doorbell.
Oh, no.
So I hopped in my car, drove away, and he was screaming down the driveway, wait, wait, wait. And as I looked back, all I remember is I went through like a bush and took off. And then we were driving up the street. As I was driving up the street, I felt a flat tire. And so I had to call my parents to come help me fix my flat tire. So my dad shows up. and he's in his pajamas, and he's like singing to me this great father-son moment. I'm going to help my son fix his first flat tire. And as we're changing the tire, the cops show up. He goes, "You been doing some TPing tonight?" And as my dad's standing there in his pajamas, looks at me and goes, "This wasn't a flat tire from just hitting something in the road." And so sure enough, there was a weekend, my license, come to find out I had ran over a bush, and in that bush was a huge brick mailbox I had taken out.
Oh, my gosh.
1994 Chrysler.
So, in other words, in your haste to get out of the driveway in a hurry after your friend ran the doorbell, you ran over a mailbox and neglected to mention that part of the story when you called Dad.
Yeah.
How long did he take your license away from you for after that?
Oh, we were going to Newport Beach for a week that summer. And let's just say I didn't have my license, and I pretty much just got to hang out at the beach. On the patio.
Oh, I do feel bad for you,
Sean.
I didn't realize it was that hard.
You had
to hang out in Newport at the beach without a car.
Yeah.
All right, you had me right up until the end, sir. Thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your Ryan Lochte moment. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Talking about your Ryan Lochte moment here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the U.S. swimmer who apparently made up the story about being robbed by folks pretending to be police in Rio de Janeiro. By the way, he has issued an apology. We'll read that for you in just a minute and see if it holds water. See if it does enough. If it's a good first step. It's funny, Allie. We talked about how he just hired a PR guy, mm-hmm. and then minutes later, an apology comes out.
Yeah, it really seems like Ryan wrote this too.
Very sure.
Ryan speaky.
Yeah, he's that smart.
A lot of whatevers and jacks in it.
Let's take a couple of calls first. We're looking for your Ryan Lochte moment. Let's try Sarah. She's in L.A. She's on line 3. What was the cover-up that was worse than the crime? That's the question, Sarah. What happened to you?
Hi. Yes. Good morning, party people.
Hey.
So I was back in maybe middle school, and I was going on a date. And I lied to my mom. I told her I was going to hang out with my friend. You know, I told my friend, hey, if my mom asks, I'm with you. And my sister was in on it. She took me to my date. We were at the cheap little dollar theater. And I ended up texting my mom. And I told her, what time are you going to pick me up? Blah, blah, blah. I meant to text my sister.
Oh, so you accidentally texted your mom who wasn't in on the lie.
It was a horror story. Yes, my mom found out. She was upset. She picked me up in the middle of our movie. I was crying. She didn't talk to me for a few days.
Did you go on a second date?
Did I? I think so.
Okay.
After she found out.
That's funny. All right. Thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate you listening. Let's try Tom, please. He's in Irvine. He's up next, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Tom. What's your Ryan Lochte moment?
I was working at a grocery store. I'd been working there for 10 years. It was the only job I ever had. And I was coaching football on the side. And I had they wouldn't give you time off for like doing another job, only for working or for taking classes at school. So I went ahead and my buddy made a fake school schedule, a Cal State Long Beach school schedule, and the times were when I was coaching football. So I turned that in and said, hey, here's when I'm going to school, and they found out that I was coaching football and they fired me for it.
Oh wow!
Oof.
So how did they find out? Like how did they verify the school schedule to find out that yours was fake?
Well, they started off, the night manager started to be really friendly with me and started pumping me for information, and I thought he was like a friend. I was like, you know, yeah, I go, I'm coaching football, you know, it's really fun, I'm working towards this and that, and I guess the whole time he was just telling the manager what was going on. They actually showed up at a couple of games, I guess, and they watched the games. They went to my practices to make sure I was there, and then they called me into the office.
This got deep.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. They were really obsessed with busting you. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Again, the cover-up needs to be worse than the crime. I'm not sure that's going to be the case for Al in Riverside, but let's find out. It sounds like he got discovered. He's on line 6. Hey, Al, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your Lochte moment?
I was about 11 or 12 years old, and my family had just gone out for the day, so I stayed home by myself, and I'm a little bit older. I go back a little bit, so I was watching Solid Gold, you know, Solid Gold Dancers in their pants and everything.
Oh, dear.
So you're 11, and the Solid Gold Dancers look pretty good.
Oh, no.
So, everybody go leaves, and I, you know, I kind of start going to business. And
I understood. Yes.
My cousin walks back in, just kind of looks at me, raises her eyebrows, and kind of smiles, and walks back out really quick.
Oh no! Did you finish?
I panicked, and I'm like, "Oh my god, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do?" So I got a glass of grape juice, spilled it on my pants and on the couch, and pretended that that's what I was doing. I was changing my pants because I spilled grape juice on myself.
Oh no!
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm with you so far. It's not the worst plan I've ever heard. But do you get discovered? Did she find out you were lying?
I'm sure that she did. She was older. She's about 17.
Right.
And but nothing was ever said, you know. And then I just turned 50 years old last year, and we were at a funeral back east. And yeah, it came out, and my mom was there.
It came out? What do you did it at the funeral too, Al?
No. He doesn't mean it came out. Oh. He's saying the story came up again, is what he means.
The story came up again. My cousin was there, and she goes, "Oh yeah." She goes, "Remember that one time?" And I was just.
So clearly, all these years, they knew that you made the whole thing up. That's fantastic.
He came clean at 50 years old.
All right, I admit it, when I was 11. All right, great call, Al. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try Louisa Orange, line 8. This sounds complicated, this one. Louisa, welcome to the show. What happened? Who did what?
Okay, my brother-in-law didn't have the best relationship with his ex-wife, didn't want the kids to go to his house for Christmas, so he lied and said that his uncle's husband had died in a car accident, and the whole family needed to be together for Christmas. So this went on for 3 years, you know, and then finally, I think one birthday party, she sees Uncle Ed, and she's like, "Hey, I thought Uncle Ed had died in a car accident." He's like, "No, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're crazy. I would never tell you that." But we held it over his head. We finally told Uncle Ed what he had done, and we held it over his head for like years. And after a while, we had like a huge laugh about it. But
how can you expect to make up a family member is dead and not have that get discovered at some point?
Yeah, we threatened to have like we send like pictures of the kids with like today's newspaper and Uncle Ed to his ex-wife for years.
Oh. That is fantastic. All right, Louisa, thanks so much for listening. Allie, you want to read this lucky statement or you want me to?
Oh, you read it. I can't.
Are you not buying it? You don't think he's at all sincere?
Oh, I think he probably feels very bad, but he didn't write it.
He didn't write it. Okay, here's the statement just released on Instagram this morning from Ryan Lochte.
Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. I'm sorry that I misconducted myself, and I will not do that into the future.
That does sound like something he would write. Oh, no, here's the real statement. I want to apologize for my behavior last weekend for not being more careful and candid in how I described the events of that early morning and for my role in taking the focus away from the many athletes fulfilling their dreams of participating in the Olympics. By the way, Ryan Lochte in his life has never said a sentence as well composed as that. I waited to share these thoughts until it was confirmed that the legal situation was addressed and it was clear that my teammates would be arriving home safely. He doesn't add the teammates that I bailed on and left you behind to take the heat when I got out of there. It's traumatic to be out late with your friends in a foreign country with a language barrier and have a stranger point a gun at you and demand money to let you leave. What's that about, Allie?
There's
no fake policeman at this point. He's talking about what? The security guards
at the gas station that they then gave $400 or so to because they had broken some stuff.
Broken the door, right. But regardless of the behavior of anyone else that night, I should have been much more responsible in how I handled myself. And for that, I am sorry to my teammates, my fans, my fellow competitors, my sponsors, and the hosts of this great event. That's almost word for word what you said he needed to say, by the way. I am very proud to represent my country in Olympic competition, and this was a situation that could and should have been avoided. I accept responsibility for my role in this happening and have learned some valuable lessons. Do you think he's still finished, though? I mean, like, if you've got a contract with Lochte, if he's representing your brand, is he done today, or is there redemption possible for him at the end?
I don't think any brand wants to be associated with him, but I could be very wrong. I don't know what his sponsorships are like, if he had many or had any that he was hoping to attain from this, but I can't see anyone attaching their name to him.
I mean, you really got to screw up to go to the Olympics as an American athlete, win gold, and walk away in worse shape than before the Olympics began. Final paragraph. I am grateful for my USA swimming teammates and the USOC and appreciate all the efforts of the IOC, the Rio 16 host committee, and the people of Brazil who welcomed us to Rio and worked so hard to make sure that these Olympic Games provided a lifetime of great new memories for everyone except for me. There has already been too much said and too many valuable resources dedicated to what happened last weekend. Whose fault is that, by
right?
the way, Ryan?
Stop talking about me.
So I hope we spend our time celebrating the great stories and performances of these games and look ahead to celebrating future successes. Isn't it customary to wait with your other country's athletes to walk in the closing ceremonies, by the way? Don't you usually stay till the end of the games?
I would think so.
When you go?
Yeah.
But most people aren't leaving under this cloud of suspicion like Lochte was. All right, well, there you go. That's the first step toward the redemption of Ryan Lochte. I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens next. Who does the interview, do you think? Who does he sit down with?
Billy Bush.
When you really want to make a statement, right?
Do it.
Ralph Scott, the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you. We'll have room for your phone calls with What's Good. And next hour, we'll also speak with an attorney who wrote a fascinating piece about what to do and what not to do when you are arrested, which I think is probably something that's good to think about when you're not in that pressure situation so that you've got something to kind of rely on in the moment.
I'm never going to be arrested, Bean.
Well, that's what Nas thought, too, on the night before, the night of. And look what happened to him.
Wow.
Allie, you and I have something in common, and that is that neither of us can stand Hillary Clinton. But tell me if you share with me that you're starting to feel bad for the Donald Trump campaign.
Not even a little bit.
Really?
No.
I am actually starting to feel bad.
No. He can't even control his campaign. How is he going to run a country?
I also am feeling bad for Donald Trump's supporters, of whom there are a lot of very nice people who are looking for a way outside of traditional politics. I get the appeal of a guy who you go, hey, you know what? For all his faults, and the guy's, you know, says some dumb things, he's built a successful business. At least you can argue that he must know something about that. But you're right. He's had three campaign managers now in the last 8 weeks, none of whom have ever run a campaign before.
Mm-mm.
And it doesn't – you know, all the talk early on was that he was going to surround himself with the best people. And there's one thing he knew was how to hire great people and manage great people. That's not even turning out to be true. So the one thing that I was giving him credit for is not working out for him. And, of course, they just announced this morning this campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, has stepped down. So he's out. A spokesperson for the Trump campaign, an executive vice president and attorney at the Trump Organization, was on TV 2 days ago with CNN's Brianna Keller. We played this tape for you yesterday, but it was one of the most awkward interviews you've ever seen in the run-up to a political campaign, because he refuses to accept the premise that his candidate, Donald Trump, is behind in most of the polls. If you haven't heard it yet, here's a little taste of that.
So you say it's not a shakeup, but you guys are down, and it makes sense that there would
polls, who?
Most of them, all of them.
Says who?
Polls. I just told you I answered your question.
Okay. Which polls?
All of them.
Okay.
All right. So that's Michael Cohen, again, a spokesperson for the Trump Organization. He says that that we have misread that situation, that he owned her, he unraveled her, and that when he said says who, he look how long it took her to come up with an answer. He thinks he won that battle, and we're all missing the big picture here, which is that Donald Trump's campaign is in good shape. So we wanted to give Mr. Cohen the opportunity to come on and talk to us, and he was kind enough to accept it, and he joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Cohen, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So the campaign is not in trouble. Things are going great for Donald Trump?
Not at all. Things are going great, and we're looking forward to facing Hillary Clinton in November, because I think we're obviously going to beat her.
I know we're still a number – I don't know how it's obvious, because although we're many weeks out from the actual election day, every national poll has you behind, in some cases by double digits, especially in battleground states where you thought that's where the difference was going to be made.
Says who?
Says the polls, Washington Post, Associated Press, NBC, CNN, Fox News, those types of polls.
Says who?
I think he just said all those polls. He named the actual polls.
Okay.
Right. So why are you so confident then that come election day, your candidate is going to win?
Well, I know you are, but what am I?
What?
I'm not.
You're just responding like a child, Michael.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Okay, but how is that relevant to the question, which is what is it you see is going to happen in the next few weeks that's going to improve Mr. Trump's ratings?
Your mom.
Okay.
It's a good one. I didn't mind that one. Michael, were you surprised at the backlash that you received? Because you really thought you owned her.
I did own her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So were you shocked that the majority of people that saw that thought that she owned you?
I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you.
Okay, but that's not an answer. That really, it's not responsive at all to the question, sir.
He who smelled it, dealt it.
Okay.
That's not what we're talking about. This isn't a fart thing, okay? We're talking about serious issues here.
Milk, milk, lemonade. On the corner, fudges made, okay?
Okay.
Okay. That may be true, but how does that help Donald Trump become our next president?
Why don't you act your age, not your shoe size, okay?
Again, not relevant.
You're ugly and you smell.
Michael.
Okay. Can we have a conversation? Can we talk about the issue here?
Make me.
Well, we're trying to have an actual conversation about the campaign and what you're going to now do differently, knowing you're down in all the polls.
You're not the boss of me. Okay.
No, not pretending to be. Nope. Really just asking, as a spokesperson for the Trump campaign, what's next for you guys?
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Okay. I feel like we're not getting anywhere, Mr. Cohen.
Fat, fat water rat, 50 bullets in your hat.
I don't even know that.
That doesn't make sense.
I'm not familiar with that one at all.
I don't make garbage. I burn it.
Wait.
Okay.
What?
Where's this coming from?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You look like a monkey and you smell like one too.
Okay. You're just saying things. None of this is constructive.
You're a fart sniffer.
Michael, how old are you?
I know you are, but what am I?
All right, that's where we started.
Come on.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Okay.
Come on, Michael.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time.
Did I mention you're a fart sniffer?
You did. You brought that up, yeah.
How about your mom?
Okay, you got to go.
Soon we're down, we go. Ooh, way down, we go.
Imagine opening your mouth and having that sound come out. That's
like
good,
it
right?
Like it doesn't every
well,
morning?
Maybe it does for you. Not so much.
Uncanny.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank
that
you.
That is
you're welcome.
A band from Iceland known as Kaleo here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat for a Friday.
Kaleo, 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 Kaleo. Hot, hot, hot. Everybody, hot. No. How you feeling? Hot, hot.
Wow. Sorry, we're out of time. I thought there was a party in here. I guess I was wrong. We need some Buster Poindexter for the next show, Biz. Make a note.
Done.
Hey, what are you doing tonight? Oh, why are you asking, Ralph? Well, because tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, it is Hollywood Babylon once again.
A turn tornado.
No, it's Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith up on the stage.
I don't know. I just heard it was a turd tornado.
It's not at all. It's the opposite of that. Whatever the opposite of turd tornadoes
is. What would the opposite be?
I don't know. A urine hurricane? That's not good either, is it? No. We have a good time, and I think you will too if you come and join us tonight at 10 p.m.
No.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets and enjoy the chaos that ensues with me and my buddy Kevin Smith. We have a pretty good time. Heard you guys talking to that spokesperson for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hard to find these days a lot of celebrities, especially musicians, who are coming to the defense of the Trump campaign. Mm-hmm. Certainly not Billy Joe Armstrong, frontman for Green Day.
He's not so much down with Mr. Trump?
Not so much. You may remember he was a pretty vocal critic of the George W. Bush administration. He is not one to hide his political views, but he is outspoken in an interview with Kerrang about Donald Trump. He said, regarding Trump's recent speech, he just said, "You have no opinions, and I'm the only one, and I'm going to take care of it myself." I mean, that's effing Hitler, man, Billy Joe said.
Easy with the Hitler comparisons.
I don't even know how else to explain it, he continued. I wish I were over-exaggerating. And sometimes maybe I do over-exaggerate with Bush. But with Trump, I just can't wait till he's gone. So, no love there from Billy Joe.
He's not doing anyone any favors with that.
I'm sorry, who isn't?
Billy Joe
Trump
Armstrong.
Or Billy Joe?
Yeah. Billy Joe Armstrong.
Why? He doesn't have to do favors. He's just voicing his opinion.
I know, but no one takes you seriously if you compare Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler.
Mm.
Now your opinion doesn't matter because you are over-exaggerating.
David Duke takes you seriously if you do that.
Well, that is true.
It's like, yeah! Yeehaw!
David Duke is running for Congress right now.
Yeah, I know. Kanye West, fans, listen up, because it's going to be exciting. Some super secret Life of Yeezy pop-up stores are going to be popping up around the globe. Here's your exclusive chance to get some special Yeezy merchandise.
I bet it's attractively priced.
I bet it is. There's going to be 21 Life of Pablo stores worldwide, 14 of them here in the good old U.S. of A. But there's a catch, because you won't find out where these exclusive shops are until you check out an online map that will reveal the exact locations only 24 hours before they open. So this seems like a bad business plan to make it this hard for people to buy your stuff. But Kanye loves events, of course, and this will be, I'm sure, well covered when they do pop up. And if you've been waiting for a chance to get a $500 T-shirt, here's your opportunity. So,
will it be ripped, though?
Check the on-off. Of course it will.
Really thin material?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be in tatters.
Cool.
Shadooby.
I am the number one human being in music. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
Okay.
We mentioned the Lost Boys series on the C-Dub. It's based on the wildly popular 1987 vampire film. That film holds a lot of love for a lot of people. Lost Boys.
Sure.
I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people letting us know, Allie, you were correct. In fact, it was both Coreys starred in the Lost Boys, along with Kiefer Sutherland and Jason Patrick. Variety says the plan is for the show to cover a decade in the life of the vampire Lost Boys, and the whole series should last 7 years, ideally, if they have their druthers. So each season will be a decade, and they'll start in the 60s with the Summer of Love in San Francisco and take you all the way up to modern times. So that's the plan for the Lost Boys series. And I think there's a lot of potential there. And I'm glad finally they're getting some vampires on the CW. I think it's about time that the CWs were representing vampires on in their programming.
Allie, I bet you, like me, loved the Lost Boys soundtrack, too.
It was great.
Remember, it had People Are Strange, Echo and the Bunnymen. Mm-hmm. That's where that came from. Mm-hmm. It had the In Excess Good Times mm-hmm. songs on that.
And Ole, Ole.
Yeah, this one, too. Mm-hmm.
Ole, no. Ole.
No.
Ole, Ole. Ole, Ole.
That was not in the Lost Boys.
Okay. How you feeling?
Nope.
Hot, hot, hot. How you feeling?
Unrelated to what we were actually
Fiesta!
Okay, I don't know that.
No, you don't know. It's your problem. Today's celebrity birthdays. Former President William Jefferson Clinton celebrates his 70th birthday today. Seems older to me. Seems like...
Than 70?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, presidency guys... just beat the crap out of that guy.
Yeah, huh. Yeah, he aged a lot in his 8 years.
Dick you Van know... Dyke looks more spry than Bill Clinton does
now. Dick Van
now.
Dyke is a... Ugh.
All right.
He's such a gem of a human being. I love him so much.
All right.
But, Ralph, let me ask you this about Mr. Clinton.
Chim, chimmy, chim, chim.
Like an angel sent
okay.
from heaven.
Okay, relax.
Okay.
Don't you think he started looking really old when he lost all that weight?
Yeah. Should listen to Dr. Drew telling you being fat is healthy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Peter Gallagher, 61 years old today. John Stamos turns 53. Kira Sedgwick turns 51 years old, as does Kevin Dillon. Matthew Perry is 47 years old. Fat Joe is 46. He's going to live forever, according to Dr.
Right.
Drew. Erica Christensen is 34, and actress Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine also celebrates a birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, we're going to try it again, even despite spotty results yesterday.
What is wrong with you?
All
the
week.
Day before that and Monday.
I believe in our listeners, and I think that they have interesting stories to tell, Ralph. That's what's going on here. It's your chance to get on the air for Kevin Bean's What's Good at 1-800-520-1067. I think more often than not, we walk away going, hey, I'm glad I talked to that person. Don't you?
Not this week.
Really?
It's been rough.
Comments, questions, problems, announcements.
No problems.
No.
Leave your problems off the board.
Look, I thought we helped. No problems. I thought we helped the kid with the job interview skills yesterday.
Nope.
I really
no
thought
problems.
We
did we get him a job?
Advice.
Nah.
Then we didn't help his problem.
Not at all.
No, but I think we helped him with the mindset of the next interview that he has. All right. So if there's something we can do for you or something you can do for us, we want to hear from you right now for Kevin Beads What's Good. We're opening up the phone lines right now. 1-800 520-1067. Get on the air. Any topic. We'll talk to you next right after this on K-Rock. I'm going to use the secret right now, and I'm going to put positive vibrations out into the world that this edition of Kevin Bean's What's Good is going to be great, you guys.
Okay.
It's going to come right back at us, and we're going to all be happy in about 5 minutes. We're going to be glad we did this segment. All right.
Alrighty.
Who's with me?
Here's to the secret.
1-800-520-1067. Time for your phone calls. Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, call up. So we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Yeah.
Sue me for caring about the people, Ralph.
Yeah, it's you. You care too much.
Let's go to John in La Habra. He's up first. He's on line 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think this is going to be a good one to get us started. Hi, John. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
What's happening, guys? Oh, my gosh. What's good? What's good is Guns N' Roses last night and the Cult opening up for them.
Oh, yes. The Cult. How lucky were you?
I was in the pit. And wow. It was pretty awesome to be there. So I recommend if you guys have like a chance to go, go. That's positive as it gets, Ralph. Go.
Go. How did they sound, John? Yeah. I mean, compared to sort of classic GNR we're all used to, the years have passed. How did they hold up?
They held up really good. Axl's Rose was spot on. Geez, he didn't miss a note. You know, he looked kind of trippy in person, you know. I can see why all that gossip was going on and stuff. You know,
he is freaky looking, that's for sure. Look, here my whole thing, John, is I loved Guns N' Roses like everybody. There's nobody who didn't love Guns N' Roses back in the day. But I feel like I got burned by them by how long they took between things and then by how fat Axl got and then the Axl cornrow years. And then when they started showing up at concerts 2 and 3 and 4 hours late, I was just like, F them. But I have to tell you, they really seem to have gotten their act together. And maybe it's because the payday is so enormous, but they have really been delivering on this tour, it sounds like.
Totally agree with you. You know, they have their dud years, but you know what? It was just like seeing them back in 88, 89. That's the last time I saw.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, all right. Cool.
And it was awesome, guys. I recommend going and keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Very
I'm
nice.
So jealous.
All right, let's get
the
out
cult
now.
Open up.
Let's get out now. That was a good phone call. Let's move on.
You're right,
Kenny
Ralph.
Needs some help.
Go to commercials, Chip.
Kenny is in Culver City, and this is exactly what the Kevin and Bean Show is here for, is to solve problems. That's what we're about.
Oh, dear God.
And I think we're going to do some good work for Kenny. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
How's it going, man? How are you guys today? Hi, Allie.
Hey, Kenny.
What's good, Kenny?
What's good is that you guys had a guy on the radio yesterday. His name was Andre, I believe. He was, a chef, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So my job actually has an executive position open, and when I heard him on the radio yesterday, I was like, what a great opportunity for him to get jobs. So I would love to see if he's listening, contact you guys to see if he can apply at our place.
That is super, super cool of you. And by the way, for folks who weren't with us yesterday, Andre sounded like a real hard worker and a real dependable guy, was very dedicated to his craft, but he kind of botched an interview. He got a little bit too nervous in an interview. So maybe this would be a less of a pressure situation for him, and he might have the skills you're looking for.
Absolutely. So, and that's why I was like, kind of have to call him, see if he's listening, contact you guys to get his information.
All right.
Kenny, do you have any prejudices against nervous chefs?
Absolutely not.
All right, because Andre's a little nervous, so right, we can put you guys together.
You hang on. Let's get your information. Hopefully he's listening. He'll call in, and we can put you two together, okay?
Perfect.
Thank you, Kenny. Very kind of you to reach out for Kevin to be
here. All right, we're two for two. We should end it.
And commercials. And go
Andy is in San Clemente. Andy is up next. He's on line 7 on the Kevin to Meet Show. Andy, what's going on?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
Hey, Andy. What's good?
Well, I got a situation at the house. I got remarried, and my current wife likes this cat, and my son, a 13-year-old son, has got really bad cat allergies, and he's not willing to come over to my house on the weekends that I have him, and my wife's not willing to part with this cat, so I was wondering if there was some way I could fake a suicide with this cat.
Oh, no.
Andy,
Andy,
get yourself a saucer.
Nope.
And then
don't even say it out loud.
Get some antifreeze, like Crestone.
Okay.
Crestone will work.
Never,
just
ever,
anything.
Ever.
Just go on down to the auto store and pick her up some antifreeze. And then, look, if you leave a saucer out, With antifreeze in it, you're not in control of the cat. You can't
Andy,
tell the cat what to do.
Can I ask you a question? How long has your second wife had this cat?
Well, she's had cats ever since I met her, and this particular one she's had about a year.
And your son, you've had him 13 years?
Yeah. He went through a really kind of strange medical issue, and I guess it has something to do with puberty also. Kicks in your allergies more, according mm-hmm. to these doctors we've taken him to.
Right.
And so his allergies have really ramped up lately.
I feel like your wife hates your kid.
I'm thinking that might be true.
Because you get rid of the cat if your stepson won't come over.
Yeah, children trump pets.
I would think.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Right. Yeah.
And I was wondering, should I leave it? I didn't know how to write a
kitty. He's still asking how to kill the cat.
No, the cat.
Yeah, write a note. Write a little note, and then just get a paw print off the cat and just put it in an ink pad and just put it at the bottom of the note. And then, look, sometimes cats get tangled in drapery cords. There's nothing you can do about it.
It's not funny to talk about.
You know the Venetian cat blind cords?
No,
sometimes
nope.
Cats are clumsy. You know how cats are clumsy.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just stroll into that cord. And
It's not cool to talk about hurting an animal.
It's
ever.
Very cool. And it's
not cool at all.
Often hilarious.
But I will tell you, no one loves the cats more than I do, by the way. And I can't have a cat because my wife is super, super allergic. And I think in this situation, I think your wife has to find a new home for the cat. I really do.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
the cat but, needs to have an accident.
Nope, the cat.
You like no.
Thank you for the call.
Sometimes bookshelves fall over, and if a cat is next to the bookshelf, who are you to say what happened?
No.
Let's do some good for the world.
I think we just did.
Aubrey, please. She's in Costa Mesa. She needs our help. She's on line 3, and she may be our final caller. And so far, by the way, I'd like to point out the secret works, but a pretty good batch of calls. Let's see if Aubrey can keep our average up. What can we do for you, my dear? What's good?
Good morning, guys. So my parents live in Lafayette, Louisiana, where the flooding just happened. And they're saying it's like the biggest natural disaster since Superstorm Sandy, and they did not have any flood insurance, and their house just flooded.
All right, let me stop you right there. Only 20% of the people in Louisiana where this flooding has happened this past 2 weeks have flood insurance. So there are a lot of people, not trying to make a pun here, underwater, who have just lost everything and have no way to get it back. This rain is biblical proportions. There are cities, and I think Lafayette may be one of them, that got close to 30 inches of rain in a week.
Oh, my God.
Picture that for a minute. So your parents evacuated safely but lost everything?
Lost everything.
Mm.
And,
man.
So my sister and I, who live out here in California, we started a GoFundMe page to try to help get donations to help them rebuild their home. So I wanted to put that out there to see if anybody can contribute to that. I know we're not the only people affected, but, you know, anybody can use some help. Everybody can use help. But the page is www.gofundme.com/RobandSandy.
Rob and Sandy.
Okay.
Hey, listen, Aubrey, if Rob and Sandy are willing to kill a cat, I know a guy who's willing to pay for it. They can make a little money on the side if they're interested.
Why would you do that?
Just put a contract out on a cat, and they can make some quick money.
Actually, what's funny is I'm a veterinary technician, so you're talking to the wrong person.
Right person. You've got the drugs. You just a quick injection, and there's no more cat problem.
No, Ralph.
Rob and Sandy, those are your parents' name. If anybody has moved and would like to check out the GoFundMe page to help. And otherwise, I would also just like to throw out is the Baton Rouge American Red Cross page also has a lot of great opportunities for you to contribute in lots of different ways if you want to check that out. Because I think it is an underreported story. As bad as the flooding is out there, you're not hearing that much about it. It is truly, truly awful. Thanks for calling. This has been Kevin and Beans. What's good?
What's good?
What to do and especially what not to do when you are arrested. We'll talk to an attorney about that coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. There's never been advice that is more needed by an audience than this advice for the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it is Friday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
King, how you doing?
Good on you.
A lot of good videos today. What do you think about this new trend about cutting all the summer action movies to the Beastie Boys' Sabotage? Don't you think that song just makes every movie better?
Mm,
I'll answer that. Yes.
I think it does.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, a few weeks ago, we had...
What's wrong with you?
We had the new Star Trek movie cut to Sabotage. Now they've done it with the Star Wars Rogue One, and I think it is great. Here's a taste of it.
On your own from the age of 15. Reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
Come on, what pumps you up more than Sabotage?
Great song, great trailer, but put them together and it's...
The two great tastes that taste great together.
Yeah, you couldn't be more.
Yeah, people love it. I don't.
That trailer is a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. It's awesome. here's some guys who had a great idea. You know, you always hear all this cheesy advice about how to approach a lady and what's the best opening line. Funny conversation starters, way to get something going with a stranger. So this guy decided to use these lines verbatim in situations with people who were not at all receptive.
There's something interesting about you. I had to come meet you.
Hmm?
Huh?
What?
No, there's something interesting about you. I just wanted to come meet you. I don't know. I just got that vibe.
That's weird.
Is that okay?
No.
It's not? Oh. Oops.
Spoiler alert, it doesn't work for anyone.
By the way, I think they would work if they did them right.
Really?
No. Yes.
You think it was delivery problems?
Because the girls ended up talking to him, and then the guys were just so terrible because I know what they were trying to do with the jokes. But I think it would work.
Well, it's very funny. You should definitely check that out. For people who love Stranger Things on Netflix but also love Always Sunny in Philadelphia, your dreams have come true because now there's a mashup. Always Sunny in Hawkins, Indiana.
One at a damn time. You.
Merkwood, it's a real road. It's just the name that's made up. It's where Cornwallis and Curly meet. We can show you if you want.
I said that I know it.
We can help look.
Yeah.
No.
It's a completely different show when you put that music to it, isn't it? if you love Stranger Things like we do, you'll enjoy this. 50 facts you didn't know about the series.
1. A second season is already confirmed, and it will be a sequel. Season 2 will follow the same characters and introduce critical new ones. 2. There is a 30-page document exclusively about the Upside Down and explains what it all means, where the monster came from, and why there aren't more monsters.
It's a very deep dive into Stranger Things. If you're a hardcore fan, you've already finished the series and you still can't get enough, that's the video for you. there's always every year there's a new collection of the best funny news bloopers from the Olympics. And this one is kind of the best of all the Olympics that they've had that they've covered on television. It goes all the way back. I think it starts with Bob Costas being condescending and then goes right into a bunch of fans being interviewed on the street who cannot stop saying the F word.
Okay, we're back, but that would appear evident.
But over the hurdles, like, I can see the girl past me.
Unbelievable. Amazing. Great.
Apologies for anyone who took offense. I'm sure this guy was excited. He didn't mean to swear.
You start interviewing people on live TV on the street or at a sporting event, that's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable. Allie, did you have a lot of people swearing during the news when you were out?
No, because I did live shots that were set up. They were at businesses, that type of thing. It was never a live news situation, but it happened almost nightly for everyone else.
Yep, sure does. I know you love this one. This is a collection of the best funny animal news.
I loved it so much.
Because this, I mean, this is where you live, right?
It was.
Going out and interviewing a llama. you'll hear in this clip, and there's so much more if you watch the whole video, but I think a lady is getting attacked by a goat, and then there's a guy who's getting attacked by a chicken, and then there's a monkey that's copping a field. All three of those are part of this best funny animal news bloopers.
ABC 7, would you not eat my pants?
One of 500 birds that are being judged today at the show.
And I am being joined right now by Mickey the baboon, and we're going to be... He's trying to cop a feel a little bit.
It's like 10 minutes of animal news bloopers. It's really, really good. Funny. Sausage Party is in theaters right now, and Seth Rogen had a great idea to go into a grocery store, I think in New York, and they worked up some animatronic fruit and bread and things like that. So it has little eyes and little faces, and then people are just going about their business shopping in the supermarket, and all of a sudden the food starts talking to them. And I was surprised. I mean, some people were clearly startled by it. I was surprised by how many people started talking back to the fruit.
I loved it. It was so good.
You'll enjoy this.
Hey, you just grabbed my face?
That is really funny.
Are you here to eat my friends and family?
You're not my type, kid.
Are you eating my nephew?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't do it. Put it down.
No way.
spit him out.
That's a talking cantaloupe is what that is.
The
right
food
there.
Looked freaky. It looked really good, though.
The cantaloupe was adorable. The sausage I didn't love.
No, but the bread.
The bread was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Strailers is back. I guess they're caught up because they went all the way back to the year 2000 to do a movie they had never done before. You know, this is the series of movies where they take even good movies and make them seem bad. This time they captured the magic of Gladiator.
Watch Max take on every challenge in his life with calm stoic acceptance, calm stoic dirt rubbing, or calm stoic wheat petting in this one-note performance that won him Best Actor.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
But damn if that one-note doesn't get me pumped.
You do have a name.
My name is Gladiator.
Hell yeah.
Right? Doesn't that make you want to see that movie again? If you went to Suicide Squad and you walked out going, you know, a lot of that didn't really make sense, now we know why. Here's the sales pitch that got the movie made in the first place.
If you can get on the squad by being a good fighter, then why are there any villains on the squad?
What do you mean?
Well, there are all these incredibly famous people running around with superpowers. And you even said earlier you were in contact with Batman. So why don't you just put together a team of good guys who are powerful and also not dangerous criminals?
Oh, my God.
Suicide Squad. Rated PG-13.
She was adorable,
I love
too.
Jenny Nichols.
I loved
it's
her.
Very, very funny. And finally, Popstar is getting ready to come out for sale and for rent. This was the movie that you saw, right? You would have seen the theater.
Oh, it was so funny.
This is The Lonely Island, of course, their movie that's kind of a parody of, you know, pop and rap and boy bands and things like that. It's the songs are so great. Like, they would be hits if they just changed the lyrics a little bit. Like, you can't really have a hit song called F Off. But this is a scene that did not make the movie, but they did put it in the extras, and it's very funny.
Mom, Dad, you can both talk. I don't want your life. I don't know you. And I hate your rules. So get out of my room. You can suck my mother. And you can I'm gonna live forever.
Okay.
The soundtrack's on Spotify. If you want a good laugh, you should check it out. It's really funny.
King of Mexico spends all of his time on the internet. Make it worth his while by checking out the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. You can find it at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, too.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Friday morning here on the world-famous K-Rock, minutes away from your chance to join us for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
That is coming up on Wednesday, August 31st, down the hall here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space. Sting is going to be performing live, going to be answering our questions and yours, and is going to be world premiering some brand new music, his first rock song in years. Very excited about this event, Allie. It's going
to
be fun.
I can't wait to see you, Bean.
Well, let's not make it about that.
Okay.
Hey, have you ever been arrested?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I was one time.
No.
And it was a mistake.
Sure. It
but
always
I did spend. Hey, everyone in jail is innocent. You know
right.
that. I did spend a night in jail, and my mom had to come pick me up the next morning. And it was all a big mistake, but I realize now that I made a lot of mistakes that night because I came across an article the other day on Deadspin.
Whoa. Before we get to him, what was it about?
That's not what's important.
No,
here.
It
that's
is. A, what
that's
happened?
Not, let's not put the focus on me.
Bean.
Let's talk about Dan Rawls. He wrote an article for Deadspin that I saw the other day that I thought was fascinating. Dan is an attorney. He also writes for Medium. You can find him as part of the team of the Unwonk podcast. And the name of the article was Your Legal Guide to Getting Arrested. And I thought, man, do our listeners need that. Hey, Dan, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Do most of us do nothing but make mistakes from minute one as soon as we realize the cuffs are going on?
That's a pretty good odds on that, especially if you haven't done anything wrong.
Okay. What's your advice? Take us through this a little bit. So obviously the police don't arrest you unless they think you're their man or their lady that's committed the crime. So they already start off thinking you're guilty. So I would imagine you're, as a human, your instinct would be to proclaim your innocence. Do you start there, or is that already a bad move?
Yeah, you should. As I say in the column, the first thing is don't panic, because that's when you get arrested, especially if you think you haven't done something wrong, your instinct is to fight against it and say, you know, I'm innocent. So relax as much as you can. Try to breathe deeply and take note of what's around you. And probably the most important part that any attorney would give you is shut the hell up. Do not
really?
Say anything. And this is especially important for innocent people because, you know, people think of the Fifth Amendment as protecting the guilty. The Supreme Court has said numerous times that the Fifth Amendment is one of its basic functions is to protect the innocent. And I came up with a little extreme example if you want me to go through it.
Yeah, please do.
All right. So say there's a serial killer on the loose in Seattle, which is a town in Washington.
Go on. Yeah.
So a really tall Caucasian guy leaving each crime scene.
Okay.
I see what's happening now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Have you experienced this? Well,
No. None of this sounds familiar to me.
Now, what hasn't been made public is that the killer has been leaving at each crime scene a piece of used chewing gum and cryptic notes to saying things like, I just want to be left alone. And, you know, I guess I'm not really a people person. And no fingerprints are ever found.
Interesting.
Now, let's say that a guy named Bean, a tall Caucasian male. And by the way, Bean, this isn't you. This is another you know, parallel universe.
Why would Bean doesn't think it's him?
I would not mean to imply that you in any way are a serial killer.
Thank you.
So let's say he goes to the gum wall by Pike Place every week to scavenge used wads of juicy fruit because he prefers secondhand gum.
this guy sounds horrible.
What's happening?
Yeah, he's a terrible person.
He's a sociopath.
But he's not a killer. But it just so happens that he's right next to the next crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
He fits the description. He's arrested.
Okay.
And when the cops are interrogating him, he didn't get a lawyer. He didn't claim his Miranda rights. They ask where he lives. He's like, well, I live on an island somewhere. And when they ask why he lives on an island, he says, you know, I never really thought about it, but I'm not really a people person. You know, I just want to be left alone.
Oh, no.
I see what just happened. Now you look guilty because you've quoted the note by happenstance.
By accident. And again, not implying that you're a serial killer being. This is a separate fictional being that
understood.
Is in no way a murderer.
So that's why even if you say something that sounds innocent off the cuff, you don't know how that might fit into a bigger picture that the police are aware of and you're not. That's why you say shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Yeah, and it's a silly example, but it's especially important if maybe you did do something wrong that didn't have to do with that crime. There's a lot of facets here, and criminal procedure is so complex. You shouldn't be the one trying to play constitutional lawyer while you're getting arrested. Your job is to not give the police evidence. Your job is to cooperate with the police. And your job is to, you know, get an attorney. And, you know, in the article, I got a lot of flack for, you know, saying that public defenders are going to be too overworked to, implication care about you. You know, I don't know how every single jurisdiction works in the country. Some places have great public defenders. Some are not overworked. My preference would be, have an attorney in your phone book that you can look up. In California, for example, the law says you get 3 phone calls within 3 hours of your arrest at no charge if it's in the area code. If you don't have the number, ask for a phone book. If it's in your phone, the police might let you unlock your phone, but be aware, once you unlock your phone, the police might then just take your phone while it's unlocked. So that's
now, I thought that was a fascinating distinction that you made, and this kind of goes to shutting up. So you want to give up as little information as possible beyond what? Your name? You have to give them your name, right? Is there anything else you're required to give them?
In California, you do not have to give police your ID in California unless you are arrested or if you're pulled over, because that's what a driver's license is for in the first place.
Okay. But you don't have to answer any other questions about, hey, where were you or what are you doing or where are you going or who do you know? You don't have to get into any of that, right?
Those things are big red flag signs. Obviously, there's context and, you know, there's the reality of you do maybe want to do show some cooperation, but use your brain. Look at the context of the situation. You know, when I write these columns, I do these almost in a vacuum because there's no way I can cover every single situation.
Of course.
You have the Fifth Amendment right, and this applies to anyone in the country. If you're a foreign visitor, the Fifth Amendment applies to you, too.
Okay.
The Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate yourself.
We're talking to Attorney Dan Rawls here about what to do, what not to do when you get arrested. And I want to circle back to what you said about the phone, because I thought this was really, really interesting. So if the police suspects me of doing something and they want to check my phone to see if maybe I took a picture of it or maybe there's some sort of geo-local information on it that'll place me near the crime scene or something like that, am I allowed to say, no, you can't see my phone?
The police will need a warrant. So
even if your phone is not locked?
If your phone is not locked, so that's actually a good question. If it's open and right there, they could have cause to look, you know, look through it. But the bigger issue is usually police will play very nice with you and say, hey, do you mind if can you unlock your phone? They will ask you to do it. Most people's phones are going to be locked in this day and age. And there's a distinction between, first of all, you should know a cop can't ask you to unlock your phone without a warrant. Second, you can never be forced, based on the law right now and how it's developed, you can't be forced to give up your passcode to your phone. You can be forced to use your fingerprint to open the phone through a warrant. Same way you can get a warrant for drawing blood. It's a physical thing. The passcode is a mental.
Isn't that interesting?
Thing.
So if I don't have my phone, and in my case I have an iPhone, if I don't have it set up to be openable by my thumbprint, then they can never get me to give up the passcode, even if they have a warrant.
Yep, that's right.
That's
how the law stands right now. It's called testamentary evidence. It's in your head, and if they're thoughts that if you let them out, they would lead to your incrimination, so it's protected.
Oh, all right, Tom Brady could have used this.
Right? Where was Dan when Tom Brady was going down? All right, I know we're almost running out of time, but I want to ask you about one other quick thing, Dan, and that is, let's say they find me by the gum wall, and then they say, hey, where are you parked? We want to look inside your car. Same thing, they can't go inside my car without a warrant? And how about if they show up and I'm at home and I step out into the yard and don't want to let them in my house? Can they still go into my house?
All right. These are two different things. A house and a car are kind of different, unless you're in San Francisco and live in your car, because it's very expensive here. So if you get arrested, say, at a traffic stop, and you're standing next to your car, the police can search what's called the grab area, which is anywhere that you could kind of grab. And I believe it's on the concept of to make sure there are no weapons or anything like that. There's been some mixed law on whether the police can then pop open your trunk. I'm pretty sure you're going to need a warrant to open the trunk because that's not part of the immediate threat.
Grab area, right. So you don't have access to that, right.
Yeah, you can expect that the police will look in the grab area, but probably not your trunk. The house thing, if the police come to your house and they don't look like they're asking for donations for the policeman's ball,
right.
You can either talk through the door and ask if they have a warrant and ask them to slide it under the door, or the smarter thing to do, if you know they're not coming for your arrest, step outside, never let the police in your house. The police always need a warrant to search your house, but if you let them in, they can do what's called a plain view search of anything in plain view to do kind of a sweep. So
that makes sense.
Once they're in the house, they can do a little kind of search around that area.
This article, again, is called Your Legal Guide to Getting Arrested, and there's a lot more in there that we didn't have time to cover. It's written by attorney Dan Rawls. And really my takeaway and the reason I wanted to get you on is because I was so impressed with your suggestion to all of our listeners to think about the attorney that you're going to call in the event of an arrest now and already have it with you and in the phone so that you're not scrambling in what might be the worst night of your life to try to find somebody. Think ahead and plan for that. And I think that's great advice, Dan.
Yeah, you don't want the last attorney you remember to be Saul Goodman from a bus stop bench.
I think that's good advice. All right. The article again is on Deadspin. You can follow Dan on Twitter at his name, Dan Rawls. That's R-A-L-L-S. And ixnay on the serial killer talk, if you wouldn't mind, Dan, next time we have you on, all right? Because people are already starting to be suspicious.
We'll see about that. Again, that wasn't you. That was another being.
Right. It was a different being who lives in Seattle. I got it. Hey, thanks for the time, sir. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Song sounds
good.
We got that. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ralph.
Right? Nailed it, Chip. Woo!
Got that crisp chill in the air because it's fall. A little sweater weather. Nice, right?
It's like 100 degrees here.
Summer and hot.
That's why I'm questioning maybe why that song is just seeming.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's wintertime? So anyways.
So Harvey Danger comes and goes. You don't say anything.
Right.
Flagpole Sitta. No mention there, but this is the song.
Well,
this is where you draw the line.
Well, it's about the sweater
this
weather.
This is your stand.
It's not quite sweater weather is what I'm saying. Hey, we will tell you how you can join us for our breakfast with Sting coming up in moments. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
Speaking of joining us for things, why don't you join me and Kevin Smith tonight at the Improv on Melrose?
No.
We're doing Hollywood Babylon again, and we have a pretty good time. I think you will, too, if you come out and check us. Check us out at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Just click on the Hollywood Club, and it's just that simple. And then next weekend on Friday night, we're doing the Irvine down there in Orange County. So if you live down there in the OC, we'll be seeing you next week. But tonight...
Well, you know the old expression. Nope.
Tonight, it's Hollywood. Jared Leto, Joker, of course, in Suicide Squad. They cut out all my scenes. Boo-hoo-hoo.
Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm sorry. He's saying, they cut out all my scenes, and I should have been in more of the movies.
That's the voice?
With his Joker teeth. Huh. He has just joined the cast of the upcoming Blade Runner sequel. Harrison Ford will be back as Rick Deckard. Oh, one of the great movie names ever. Ryan Gosling's also in the cast. Robin Wright. Ooh. Dave Bautista. Great lineup. And now Jared Leto joining the cast. Speaking of casting news, there's a new Mary Jane Watson, Spider-Man's love interest in the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming due out next year. Of course, Kirsten Dunst played the character originally opposite Tobey Maguire. Now Zendaya will be the new Mary Jane Watson. Some people online, might find this shocking and surprising, but some people online are complaining about casting in a superhero movie.
What?
Yes,
really?
It's true.
No way.
Usually they're very open to whatever artistic choices the director makes.
They are concerned because Mary J. Watson is not a white girl in this version. She will be African American.
She's also not real.
I don't know, Bean. Huh. Try telling that to the guy in the basement.
Huh.
I think my favorite comment on this so-called controversy was from Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn, who said, "If you're worried about what color Spider-Man's girlfriend is, your life is too easy." And I think he's got a point. Maybe you could use some real problems in your life. New Metallica, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Metallica,
long overdue.
Metallica dropped a new single yesterday. Didn't even tell anyone. They just said, boom, here it is. It's called Hardwired. It's off their new double CD set of all new tunes. That'll be out on November 18th. Hardwired to Self-Destruct is the name of the brand new double disc album. And the new single is Hardwired. It's pretty awesome. Dropped last night. Sure sounds like Metallica. Here's a little sample.
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. After all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
Oh, James.
Never sounded better.
James, what happened to you?
It's pretty incredible.
No,
sounds great.
Sounds awful.
Sounds so good.
Let's hear some real Hardwired.
In the name of desperation. In the name of wretched pain. In the name of all creation. Gone insane. We're so out of luck. Hardwired to self-destruct. Yeah, yeah, go, yeah. Yeah, fire, fire.
It's very Beavis.
Shut up, Eddie. Beavis.
How
new Metallica.
Yeah, how yeah, I like it. Yeah,
Lars
I like it.
Drumming on that.
Shut up, Beavis. Today's
that's real good, though.
It's real good.
Real good.
It's very metallic.
Welcome back, guys.
It's very metallic, I guess you would say. Today's celebrity birthdays. Melissa Fumero of Brooklyn Nine-Nine celebrates a birthday today. Erica Christensen, Fat Joe, Matthew Perry, Kevin Dillon, Kira Sedgwick, John Stamos, Peter Gallagher, and former President Bill Clinton. All celebrate birthdays today on August 19th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You cannot buy tickets to our Breakfast with Sting, but you can win them through the Kevin and Bean Show right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you're a fan of Sting the Man or his band The Police or both, why not be with us on Wednesday, August 31st, down the hall at the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock for an intimate performance, including a world premiere of his brand new song from his forthcoming rock album. It's going to be so much fun. If you know Sting and his music, call now. Give you a chance to win those tickets next on K-Rock. Sting is coming back to rock music, you guys, and that is great news because he is one of the great artists of all time. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Sting himself is going to be with us here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space on August 31st. You can be there, too, at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, you got to get past this.
It's the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Hey, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
So this Sting, he's the real deal, right?
Yes.
It's a hot take.
Holy crap.
I'm just impressed. You know, you get a guy like that. You don't get a legend like that walking the halls of our puny little radio station every day. That's all I'm saying. We're just honored to have him.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you explain to the callers on the line how the game is played, sir?
We'll be playing for you a little snippet of a Sting or Police song. All you need to do is identify the song we play for you.
Sounds
easy.
Oh,
wait a minute. I forgot. They'll be backwards.
Oh, yeah! We're going to be playing the music
backwards. That sounds hard.
It's the hardest game in the world, too.
All right. If you identify the song by title, you are in. You join us on the 31st. Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Diane from Placentia. She's a phlebotom. She's a blood lady.
That's right. Hi, Diane. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
We're doing great. All right. You like the Sting? Listen up. Here's a Sting or Police song backwards. You tell us what it is by title and you're in. Here you go. Good luck. What do you think?
It's a Sting song. I have no idea.
And not even a guess. That's you are ill prepared, my dear. I'm sorry.
How about Fields of Gold?
All right, now what do we do?
I heard Fields before you hit the buzzer.
We're going to let you in. It is Fields of Gold. Well done,
okay,
Blood Lady. Hold on. You're going to be joining us for Breakfast with Sting. All right.
A little quick on that buzzer there, mister.
Well, she said she didn't even have a guess.
Bet you guessed.
Sounded like she was out.
You sit down.
You guys stop fighting.
Do you hate it when Daddy and Daddy fight?
I do.
Alicia's up next from Tescadero.
Hey, Alicia, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Where's Tescadero?
Oh, it's a little north of you guys. But, you know, Sting fans and Police fans are worldwide.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Here's your song.
That's Every Breath You Take.
It sure the hell is.
Nice.
All right. Drive on down and see us on the 31st. Thank you, Alicia.
Cheer who's next? Up, Alicia.
Hey, it's nice to have a happy winner.
I agree.
Next up is Victor. He's from Covina. He's a machinist, which means hired killer.
I'm not sure that's the translation, although what are you doing right now, Victor?
I'm on the drive on the freeway.
Okay.
In your convertible?
In traffic.
Okay, we can barely hear you, but hopefully you'll be able to hear this song. Barely, but listen up. It's more important that you hear the song. What Sting song is this backwards, please? It was Englishman in New York was the song.
Oh, Victor.
Nice try. Thanks for playing. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Oscar in Pasadena.
Hey, Oscar.
Hello.
Let's do a little Hardest Game in the World Part 2. Here's your song. Good luck.
Roxanne.
Roxanne.
Yeah.
Doesn't the backwards version of that sound like something Rodney would play on his show?
These songs sound awesome backwards.
All right, Diana's in, Alicia's in, Oscar is in. Who's next?
How about Annie and Torrance?
Hey, Annie.
Hey, y'all. What's up?
How are you feeling? You feeling lucky for Sting?
Wish me luck, guys.
Okay. Good luck, Annie.
Thank you. Okay, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
Nice. I'm not going to lie. I love these songs backwards.
Me too.
I thought this game was supposed to be hard, Mr. Announcer Man.
It's not.
Okay. All right. Who's next? I think we got room for one more right now.
Next up is Brenda from Los Angeles. She's a paralegal, which means she helps people who can't walk with legal issues.
Is that accurate, Brenda?
Yes, that's science.
No.
Oh, really? It sounded like you knew. All right, we are wishing you good luck. Here's your Sting song.
Thanks.
I feel like I
Dexter Bros.
Yes.
Wow.
ladies love Sting. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah. They sure do.
And yeah. That tantric sex thing,
amen.
Right?
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. All right, so Brandon, you'll be there on the 31st. Breakfast with Sting. You can't buy the tickets. You can only win them through the Kevin and Bean Show. Annie as well. Oscar will be there. Alicia and Diane. How about you, Mr. Announcer Man?
I will be there, and I hope he sings backwards.
I do, too. Thanks for playing. We're just talking in here, Ralph, about the closing ceremonies of the Olympics happening on Sunday.
So
the Rio games are almost behind us. And I was wondering, as a result of seeing all this Olympic stuff for the past 2 weeks, what is your level of interest in Los Angeles hosting the games as they are a want to in 2024?
No, thank you.
Rather not have them.
No. It's the last thing this city needs is more congestion and people and traffic and things and stuff and things.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, you agree?
100%.
Yeah.
Why do you suppose they're going so hard for it?
Because it's ego, it's prestige, it's, I suppose there's, I mean, I've read articles that there's not really any even financial benefit anymore to hosting the Olympics, that you really don't make any much more money than ordinary.
I have heard that as well. I heard that Sochi ended up being way in the red. I heard that the Winter Olympics up in, where was it, in British Columbia or something, Vancouver, I think, had it, and they took a bath on it.
I think it's just bragging rights.
That's all
in
it
a lot of ways.
That's the point of
why
that.
Garcetti wants it.
Yeah.
He wants to be the mayor that brought it to L.A. Yeah, again.
It's just ego, and I think it's pointless. It's not like Los Angeles needs publicity.
Right.
Yeah,
like
I think we're doing okay.
I think tourists know where to find us if they want to come and see what we have to offer. We're on the map, so to speak.
I think you'd be okay with a Super Bowl because that's a one day thing, right?
Or a 2 week weeks, thing, yeah, really, a couple but, weeks, and then yeah. it's a hit and miss. But and you know, and that doesn't really require
the
extra infrastructure and security and additional construction work, and it really becomes a process that I think can be a pain in the ass for a city.
Plus, bringing all those hookers in,
right? All the condoms you have to supply.
That's true.
Then what?
See, we've got to think this
then
through.
Then you know, lock these peeing on your gas station.
Right?
You don't need that. Right?
No one wants that.
What is that?
Well, I don't know when they do make the announcement, but Los Angeles is still one of the cities that's vying for it for 2024. So I guess we'll wait and see as we get a little bit closer. It's 9:39. It is Friday morning. That means it's time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Tonight, a mere 12 hours from now, Kevin Smith and I will be taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
We'll be doing Hollywood Babylon once again. If you want to check out the show, we'll be there tonight, 10 p.m. We have a pretty good time. If I say so myself. Come on out, and you can get your tickets at improv.com.
I can't judge him. Only God can do that. But he is a perfect case point example of what we don't want to be.
No, that's true.
Wow.
Next weekend, next Friday night, we're going to be in Irvine at the Irvine Improv. But
I hate that guy right there.
This is our last time at the Improv on Rose for a while. So if you've been meaning to check out the show, tonight would be a good night to do
that. The guy's on fire with sniveling evil.
Well, I do have some sniveling evil. But
he loves betraying people. He gets off on it.
It is kind of fun.
He's committed to Satan.
Well.
Oh, wow.
Look, what's the point of going half-assed towards Satan, right?
That's true.
Either you're in or you're out. I mean,
it makes my stomach turn to look at him.
I will defend my commitment, sir. New Gorillaz album. Anybody interested?
I'll listen to that.
I like the Gorillaz.
Sure.
They're going to include some guest appearances on the new album from De La Soul.
It's from La Soul.
And Snoop Dogg. That's kind of cool.
Okay.
Apparently, Damon Albarn, lead singer, of course, for Gorillaz, sings on the new De La Soul album, so they're sort of returning the favor. And Snoop, well, you don't need an excuse to have Snoop on an album, right?
No. Mm-mm.
I can't believe the last Gorillaz album, Plastic Beach, was 2010.
Really?
I can't believe it's been that many years.
Well, he does have another job.
Yeah, I know, no, but it's still. The album will be out in 2017, so we all got plenty of time sitting around and wait. The poor lady, poor old lady who lives in the Brady Bunch house. And by that I mean the house that was the exterior for the Brady Bunch on the TV series. Whenever they showed the house, they'd show the outside of this lady's house. It's kind of a tourist attraction in North Hollywood. Well, this old lady wakes up 10:30 p.m. at night, hears a noise, goes downstairs, flips on the light, and there's two guys ransacking her home. They ran away, luckily. And she says she hasn't noticed anything valuable is missing, but still, this is like the third time her home's been broken into, by the way.
Oh. You know, they ought to check the
people
listings.
Hate the Brady's.
Right?
They should check the
damn Partridge Kids.
And see if the episode where they're on vacation in Hawaii had just aired, and maybe people are watching the show going, oh, you know what? They're out of town.
Right. So smart,
there,
Bean.
You're going there in Jack Mike's drafting table.
Right?
You know they put a false second floor on that house to shoot the exterior of it for the Brady Bunch?
I did not know that.
It's a single floor dwelling. And so in order to shoot it, they built a facade of a second floor on top of that house when they shot the exterior shots.
Interesting.
There you go. A little trivia.
Thanks, Ralph.
You're welcome. And did Justin Bieber insure his penis for $5 million?
I'm going to say no.
Well, you'd be right. There has been a rumor on the internet that he has insured his private parts for that amount of money. However, insiders, Justin Bieber's manhood insiders, are saying that it's not the case and he has no current plans to financially protect his member. So, everyone
penis.
Can rest easy. $5 million, by the way. It's a little excessive, don't you think?
Well, I do.
Yeah. We haven't seen it.
It's like a million an inch there, right? Bam Margera. Bam!
What's he been up to?
He's been up to no good. He was recently hauled off by Helsinki police last weekend after getting into an argument with his wife, Nicole, outside a bar in Helsinki.
Uh-oh.
Now, luckily for him, the word is that police did not charge him with a crime. They just let him sleep off his buzz until 6 a.m. the next morning and then released him. But he was causing quite a disturbance, say police, before they picked him up. So, look, if you're in Jackass, I think you're expected to raise a certain amount of hell, right?
He is rarely in the news for any good reason.
This is true. By the way, how cool are the Helsinki police?
To let him go without
go
a
go ahead, you take a nap. We'll wake you up in the morning and get you some coffee and perhaps an egg McMuffin.
They're very polite.
They got
polite
him an egg there. McMuffin?
They got him an egg McMuffin.
Wow.
Kanye West fans! Life of Pablo pop-up stores are right around the corner. According to Yeezy, there will be 21 Pablo stores worldwide, 14 of them here in the States. Here's the hook, though, is you won't know where they'll be until 24 hours before they open. And boom, Life of Pablo, get all your gear, all your exclusive merchandise. And then a day later, boom, it's gone. So if you want a $1,000 sweatshirt, you better pay attention and log on to Kanye West's website so you can find the online map that will let you know where you can buy.
It's about ideas, bro.
It's about finance.
I have seen photos on the internet this morning of people lined up at the L.A. location and the New York location.
Well, there you go.
Hours and hours people are waiting.
Well, how else are you going to get a Yeezy t-shirt? People are dumb.
What's the point of thinking?
Although pop-ups are cool because, Allie, I know you heard about this. The Cantina, the Star Wars Cantina pop-up.
Yes.
It's a bar that looks just like the Cantina in Mos Eisley.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're encouraging costumes. Come on and drink stuff there and be in costume. And bet that music will be playing.
So good.
Over and over and over.
They have different seatings. You can go online and they're going to be taking reservations. But this is going to be the hottest thing for however long it's there. But oh my God, if I don't get in, something's very wrong.
I got to go too. My friend, he doesn't like you.
Who would you dress up as?
Obi-Wan, mother loving Kenobi. That's
right.
Who I'd dress
up
as.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Everyone pass with that?
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthday is Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Celebrates a birthday today, as does Erica Christensen.
Ooh.
She's 34. Fat Joe, the rapper, is 46. Matthew Perry is 47. Kevin Dillon is 51. Kira Sedgwick is also 51 years old today. John Stamos turns 53. Peter Gallagher is 61. And President Bill Clinton is 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate that. Hey, everyone. Do us a favor on your drive home today. Listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We have next week on the show some good things.
Wow. Don't be so particular. Be a little more generic.
Empire of the Sun stopping by with some new music. And how about this? Monday morning, our friend Phil Kogan from Amazing Race will
That's
be
right,
here
brother.
Too.
Don't bombard that joint,
Phil.
My friend.
Phil Kogan, not Hulk Hogan.
That's right, brother.
Pass
my real name.
It over to me.
Phil Hogan.
Don't bombard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
If you really suck at something, you probably shouldn't do it.
Roll another one.
Says who?
Just like the other one.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Jesus.
And I need another hit.
Oh, this is amazing. So much fun. I love it. I love it. We having a good time? USA. USA.
Roll another one.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Just like the other one.
You like that? You like that?
This one seems to be about to end.
I won't be a party to it.
I don't have another cent.
My friends, America needs to repent.
And I'm not interested.
Just pass it around.
I'm sure I got a badge for banging.
I can't even.
I just pass it on down.
So listen, take care of yourself. I have to go. Just be good and keep up the good show, and I'll do it again very soon.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.